transmitiendo en el 100.1 FM desde Sulha, la llanura de flores. Está usted escuchando Radio Ñamda, la palabra del agua.
Al pueblo en general, informamos lo siguiente. Por acuerdo de diversas asambleas regionales de autoridades comunitarias, máxima instancia de nuestra institución comunitaria, celebradas en meses anteriores.
Está sintonizando Eco de la Montaña, 99.1 de FM.
Pueblo querido.
In the final days of 2008, we had the opportunity to visit with compañeros working in the organization Cactus in the Mixteca region of Oaxaca, as well as some of the communities they are working with. Here, we share with you the words of Omar Esparza, one of the founders of Cactus, whom we interviewed in Huajuapan, Oaxaca, as well as Antonio López Mendoza, a teacher and a part of Community Radio Committee in the Triqui community of Laguna Guadalupe. In speaking to them and other allies in the region, we were able to understand the important impact that autonomous radio has had on the political organization in Mixteca of Oaxaca.
Mi nombre es Omar Esparza, soy miembro fundador de Cactus. También coordino la red de radios indígenas y comunitarias del sureste mexicano.
My name is Omar Esparza. I'm a founder and member of Cactus. I'm also a founder of the organization Maíz in Puebla, which also works nationally. Cactus began legally as an organization in 1998 with the goal of supporting communities in the Mixteca region of Oaxaca, which were dealing with conditions of extreme poverty. Today, Cactus works in lots of different areas, but remains focused in working with human rights and pushing for human rights in the pueblos in the Mixteca region of Oaxaca. So Cactus works with the communities in the way that the communities are organized politically as indigenous pueblos and seeks to kind of integrate itself into the methods that are already exist within those pueblos. Cactus is definitely a politically active organization, although it does not have any alliances with political parties in Mexico. Instead, Cactus focuses on the indigenous community's rights to autonomy and works theme of the struggles of indigenous peoples on a national level within Mexico, and works with in the scheme of the Zapatistas and treating pueblos not as objects but as subjects, active subjects. So we Cactus as an organization in 2006 participating with APO, and basically we saw a situation where commercial radio stations and commercial media in general was closing off and suspending information about what was happening in Oaxaca, and apparently they were saying it was because of technical problems. During 2006, we had friends who were working in the Istmo of Tehuantepec, the southern region of Oaxaca, with a group called UC Sony, and we were able to get a hold of a transmitter, only a 30-watt transmitter, but with that we were able to transmit the news of what was going on with the PFP entering Oaxaca, and we were able to transmit that information live. Although Cactus had organized lots of different marches and rallies before, we found that with the radio we were able to have a stronger influence over the people in the community, and on the 2nd of November 2006, we were transmitting the news that the federal police were entering Oaxaca, and in response to that and transmitting that on the radio, we were able to have a march of about 6,000 people here in Mojuapan. So because of that march and the response to that radio transmission, we were able to see the power within just a 30-watt transmitter to really bring the people out. But also importantly was the content that we were transmitting, which was sort of the situation of poverty and struggle that people were living in Oaxaca, the situation in Oaxaca and the history of that situation, which a lot of people weren't necessarily aware of. From that moment on, we worked with UC Sony from the Istmo of Tehuantepec to form a network of radios in Guerrero and in Oaxaca that would essentially be in solidarity with the social movements in those areas, and that would struggle those movements and help spread the message of the struggle against poverty and the different pueblos in that area were living in. So the basic objective of the network of radios has really been to recognize the Treaty of San Andreas between the Zapatistas and the Mexican government that outlines the rights of indigenous peoples to have their own forms of communication. And in that sense, the work of Cactus has been to push forward what was written into that treaty, which has not been respected by the government. So today Cactus is working with around 7 radios, and although we have different agreements currently going with different communities to start new radios, working with the different government assemblies within those pueblos, and Cactus working with those assemblies is part of the network of radio stations in the southern part of Mexico. And sort of the goal within this network is that to build radio stations that truly are community radio stations and are focused on rescuing the culture of these communities and working on human rights issues, working around migration, around women's rights, and sort of the defense of these different pueblos. The radios have definitely had an important impact in the different communities as sort of an exercise of people's right to communication. It's really something profound that because anyone can hear it within their house, it also has had unfortunate results as well, unfortunate consequences. Among those unfortunate consequences that we've had in this struggle, one of those was that Teresa and Felicitas, two young women working in one of the communities we're working with the radio, lost their lives. This was in the Triqui region of Oaxaca. And unfortunately, the response from the government has been that it was just a confusion. Basically, we've seen that this is within a larger problem of the defense of journalists in Oaxaca, and we don't expect the governor Ulises Ruiz to do anything more than say it was just a confusion. I was present during the time of the investigation after the assassination of Teresa and Felicitas, and basically what happened was, as the car they were in drove by, the assassins shot repeatedly at the car, and which later the car fell into a ditch, and then the assassins came straight up to the car, opened the doors, and shot again, specifically at Teresa and Felicitas, point blank into the car. So basically this is also a crime that we don't want to see, something that where the government receives impunity for this, and we think it's something that needs to be prosecuted. This experience has sort of led us to see the true power of radio stations. Unfortunately, we've seen that a lot of times it does end this way violently, but we still think it's important and within the struggle for indigenous communities to be able to live with justice. And basically, the fact that the government's taking this position is something we see as politically motivated, because the government's already been involved in essentially assaulting these different pueblos. If they don't do anything, then it's just a further example that we can't trust in them at all. So after the repression of 2006 in Oaxaca, there's been a real situation of militarization that's now beginning to show up more in the different small pueblos of Oaxaca. Also in those pueblos, there's been division and infighting because of the influence of the different political parties, the PRI, the PRD, and the PAN, which have sort of either bought off or had in different ways controlled members of the different community assemblies of these pueblos. We've also seen that APO has been capitalized on as a name, which some people have co-opted APO to sort of advance their own interests, to get different positions in the government, and also to be able to get different federal resources. So nevertheless, the people of Oaxaca, despite everything with APO, still hope for change and are still waiting for governments and of all different forms to comply with the different needs of the pueblos of Oaxaca. APO existed really as a social movement, not so much as a social organization. It existed in a specific moment, and the results are still yet to be seen, really, of what APO was as a social movement. And I think next year we'll be seeing some of those results sort of in the form of different dynamics, different struggles that are resulting from that moment of APO. I think it's also important to see, to be looking at this struggle from the perspective of sort of the worldwide economic, political, and human crisis that's happening, that has its own consequences in the pueblos of Oaxaca, often in the form of migration. But we try to look at this as sort of a possibility for to plant new struggles, new ideas, to sort of give rise to new leadership and new a new social movement in these pueblos, and to form new spaces, the different needs and demands of the pueblos of Oaxaca in the areas of communication and areas of human rights, and really to harvest from what's left of Apo and sort of to form a new social revolution in the state of Oaxaca. There's many different ways to participate in these struggles. We work with lots of different people from different collectives, and really we have an open door policy. If people want to come and commit to work with the different communities, really the main thing is that we just need people who can come and have their own resources to sort of sustain themselves. We can be reached by telephone here in Mexico. It's 953-532-2147. We can also be reached at two email accounts. One is Pitaya Roja, which is PitayaRoja at hotmail.com. And then the second email is OmarEsparza76@hotmail.com. That's OmarEsparza76@hotmail.com. We also welcome commentaries and anything people have to say from other radio stations, and really just want to appreciate the ability to express our words and get our...
Dice la gente en los pueblos que cuando es tiempo de lluvia, es tiempo de siembra, ¿no? Este es un momento idóneo para generar organización en los pueblos. Es una posibilidad de sembrar y de cosechar frutos nuevos, ¿no? Generar una nueva revolución en este país donde tanta falta nos hace.
Para elegirte he caminado y he encontrado que el destino al otro lado siempre muestra división. Que se bifurquen ambos polos, conocidos ya por todos, siempre dos caminos
solo. Mi nombre es Antonio López Mendoza, soy de esta comunidad de La Laguna, Guadalupe.
Can you start by telling me what your name is and where you're from?
My name is Antonio López Mendoza, I am a teacher. I am from the community of Guadalupe de La Laguna in the municipality of Putla in the state of Oaxaca.
And can you speak to me a bit about your community here in La Laguna?
To start, the community here is 2,000 meters above sea level, and it's quite cold here. The other thing here is the people only produce for their families, so the harvest in this region is for auto-consumption, grow corn, beans, and squash.
And what about the indigenous roots of the people from here?
Well, according to stories from the elders, we're descendants from the Mixtecos, is just that. Because of some problems, they looked for a different way to express themselves. So that is ethnicity, which is called tricky, could be made. In fact, there are three ways to express oneself in this language. There are those from Copala, San Martín y Tunioso, and Chicahuastla. Also, there is the clothing that we wear, especially the women who still conserve the traditional clothing. I can be note that their dresses are handmade. Again, because of the cold climate, they need to protect themselves from the cold. The community of Laguna Guadalupe has a population of close to 2,500. Most recently, some people have migrated to the United States in search of economic resources. Since here in the community, there isn't a source of employment which can pay them and help them get their children ahead.
So a lot of people have migrated from here?
Yes, in the last 10 years, a lot has migrated to the north, also to the north of the country, especially for the American dream. They think that way they will be able to solve all of their problems because the government hasn't helped us with any projects, and they leave their roots, their ancestors, and Tequio, which has always directed to the work we have down here.
Can you tell me what the Tequio is?
The Tequio is a way of working collectively in which nothing is demanded, and instead we work for the common good. The authority is responsible for distributing this work. In meetings, we discuss the works that needs to be done and it's down.
Have you or people in your family had an experience of migrating?
In my family, yes. I personally have not, because fortunately I had the opportunity to do an internship and this helped me get ahead. I was able to study until preparatoria, so I didn't have the need to go outside this region. I do have family members who have left to other places.
And talking about the radio project in the community here, when did the project start and why did you decide to start it?
The radio project more or less started in 2006, and so we were told by compañeros of the organization Cactus that there was this opportunity. We were told we could get the equipment to have a radio. We talked to people of the community in a meeting, and they thought it was important to make now our indigenous culture, our way of life, and especially because of the behavior of the government.
Speaking of the behavior of the government, one of the compañeros was telling us this morning that most people here have decided to stay away from the political parties. Could you comment on this, please?
In fact, as one of my compañeros was saying earlier, according to the elders, we've always had this problem here. With the other community of Chicahuasla, we had the separation. Since the time, this community of La Laguna has always stayed away from political parties, especially because it brings a lot of problems. And also, our people have always had the knowledge that political parties only promise things and at the end of the day, they don't fulfill their promise. Many people from here have talked to students from UNAM, the National Autonomous University of Mexico, who also confirmed what I am saying about the parties.
And currently, how is the committee of the radio organized? How is the participation of the community, and what are you hoping for?
Well, since the meeting in 2006, when we decided to have the radio, a committee was formed that is in charge of the radio, and also there are other youth who are supporting the work, the transmission, and the objective is to transmit the reality of our community and know what is put forth in other media, but really what people feel and think here in the community.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the relationship that you have with the organization Cactus?
When we were first told about the opportunity to have the radio, we went to Huajuapan and were told that Cactus could support us in getting the material and help us set it up. They told us that according to the San Andres Accords, this was one of the points that was the excuse. The indigenous community shall have their own means of communication, since it's always the rich that take advantage of this space. We agreed, and bit by bit, we increased our contact with the organization. We have also worked with another organization that is called CODEP. That is here in Putla. In fact, we've always participated with organizations that are on the left, because if we talk about political parties, well, they say they're on the left, but soon after, they are making agreements with parties from the right, and we don't agree with that. We have a clear idea of what organizations are on the left as opposed to the parties that say they are.
And this political consciousness that you mentioned of the people of the community, how was it developed?
Well, in fact, this community has always stayed away from the government. That's saying that is a rebellious community. Even in the time of Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas, there was hope for the country to change. It was the only community that bought 100% with his party. Since then, the parties and government bodies have always known that this community isn't with them. Many people here have never left the community, but they have knowledge about which path we need to take. As I mentioned, we talked a lot with students from UNAM or the Metropolitana, and that has also been a source of information.
Have you suffered repression because of the radio project or other processes of organization at the hands of the police or state or federal governments?
Until now, fortunately, no. But I don't think the government will remain quiet. But the community here is prepared because we participate directly in the movement that came together in the capital of the states, so we know what can happen.
You're referring to 2006?
Yes, 2006.
You wanted to comment on what support is needed from the outside?
Mostly for the development of the community. As you can see, we need potable water. We haven't had the support of the government. In this season, the water dries up, and we need help with it. We've asked for help, but we're told that there aren't enough resources. We have to wait until next year. We also need help with a tourist project. We have two lakes, and we want to work on a tourist project related to that. Many times, we don't know where to ask for help. We ask here in the municipality, but we don't get any response. And because of the problems we had in 2006, we haven't dialogued with the government. And also because this community has worked with the organization CODEP. We haven't dialogued with the government because we work directly in the movement. I'm referring to the APO. So in terms of support from outside, it will be economic resource to develop some projects.
Y si se trata de luchar, voy de la mano con mi pueblo. Por igualdad voy codo a codo con mi pueblo. Por libertad yo me hago uno con mi pueblo. Si se trata de luchar por justicia y libertad. Y si nos vienen a callar, yo me levanto con mi pueblo. O amedrentar, yo me hago uno con mi pueblo. O a matar, yo aquí me muero entre mi pueblo. Si se trata de luchar por justicia y libertad.